Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Well, this morning I want to begin to approach a topic that I believe we all need to hear more about, and I believe it's something that is still a little bit misunderstood in the church, in a large part of the church. I'm not saying here. I'm saying that it is misunderstood by many Christians, and I have to remember that when I'm standing here, I'm not just speaking to you that are here, but I'm speaking to many others that are listening through the internet. So what I want to talk about this morning is something that I believe that it pertains to every one of us, and I believe is misunderstood by many Christians. This subject that I want to deal with this morning, or topic, whatever you want to call it, is just as sensitive as the grace message, if not more so, in the church. And I believe the reason anything becomes sensitive in the church, any type of teaching becomes sensitive, is simply because there's many of us that are falling so short of it. We fall short of what I want to talk about this morning. And the reason we fall short of it is a lot of times it could be just as simple as wrong teaching, mixed teaching, no teaching on this area. And so I'm not wanting to condemn anybody this morning or point fingers. It's just simply that it's something that I have wanted to address for 15 years, 16 actually, that I've been in this pulpit and never really have. That I want to go directly to it. We address it all the time, but it's always kind of brought in subtly. But I want to do a real teaching. It might take me 3 weeks to finish it. I'm not sure. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. In fact, I really didn't want to do this teaching. I could not shake it. And I thought, Lord, you know, I've been teaching about being established in the kingdom of God, and you and I who have been called to establish that kingdom on the earth over the last couple of weeks. And it's funny how one thing just leads to another. And the Lord was really dealing with me on this, that it's the hour now for the church to rise up, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But we will never establish, or we will not be successful in establishing God's kingdom without one thing, and that's healing. God wants his people well. I'm going to talk about physical healing this morning. And I might say some things that'll ruffle your feathers, and maybe I'll say some things you've never heard. Maybe I'll say things you have heard and believe. But we need to address this. I need to attack it according to God's word. And over the next few weeks, I want to take us, first of all, today, I want to talk about how God sees it, God's will, God's, you know, how God's perspective. And then next week, you know, I want to look at the legal side of it, because we need to understand it no matter which way we come at it. We need to be settled in this and on this issue in the body of Christ. Amen. How many of us agree? So we're going to open up the word this morning. I want us to grab our Bibles, because I don't want you to leave thinking that this is my interpretation or my idea of what God's word teaches. Because like I said, this is a very sensitive issue in the body of Christ. But I believe God wants it settled once and for all. Not only in our hearts and minds, but in the body of Christ in general. So let's approach God's word with humility. Let's forget about any preconceived ideas. You know what? Wouldn't it be great if we were all here for the first time and hearing God's word for the first time on healing? Think about that. But most of us are sitting in preconceived ideas. Why? Because of experiences. Either yours or someone else's. And so we kind of don't approach the word with a freshness. And I want us to do that. Let's just forget that we know anything. And a lot of times when we approach God's word, that's how we have to approach it. Not with a preconceived idea that you understand it all. Because that's not humility. So, humility this morning, I want us to look in God's Word and see for ourselves how God truly views sickness and disease in His creation, which is all of us here. If God didn't create you, you shouldn't be here. We are all God's creation. Amen? So how important? How important? I want to spend some time talking about God's perspective. How important is it to God that all of us are well, healthy, healed, whole? I think that sometimes in the church, we have downplayed it. You know, we sometimes give the idea that, well, you know, you're saved. And that's the greatest blessing. And bless God, you know, even if you have to walk in this life with a disability or whatever, it's okay. Because in the end, it's all going to be good. I think sometimes we have downplayed healing and wholeness in the church. And the first thing I want to bring out this morning, and if you really read the scriptures, it doesn't say this, but there is no way you can possibly miss this. When you truly read the scriptures, all of this begins to emerge. And it's this one thing. God, our Heavenly Father, has a passion. I'm going to talk about a passion to have all of His children well. What is a passion? When we say somebody in this life has a passion, that means he's a fanatic. He goes to the extreme. You know, and we laugh at people who are fanatics because they just go so crazy in one direction. God is a fanatic. And the scriptures prove it. So a fanatic and all fanatics have one thing in common. They are consumed with their cause. Right? Ever met someone like that who is absolutely consumed with a cause? And you look at it and you think, you know, we have all kinds of fanatics and they're consumed with all kinds of causes. And we smile because we're not consumed with that cause at all. But God is a fanatic when it comes to the healing and the wholeness of His children. He's consumed with that cause. In other words, God, as anyone else that is a fanatic, will work tirelessly, unending, ceasingly towards that cause, towards healing, health, wellness in His children. Now, how do I know this? Because the scripture says. The scripture tells us this. Acts 10:38. Listen carefully. Read it. Take your glasses off. Get rid of everything that you think you know. And let's read God's word as it is. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power to do what? Who went about doing good. Now, that word, who went about doing good. What did Jesus do? Read the Gospels. What did Jesus do? He preached the kingdom. The word or the gospel of the kingdom. And then what else did he do? And he healed all who were sick or who were oppressed, for God was with him. Jesus, we know, is God in the flesh. He, the Bible tells us in the gospel of John chapter 1, is the very image of God. The express image of God. In fact, Jesus even said himself, he who has seen me sees the Father, or the heart of the Father. Now, and if you this week will take the time to read through the Gospels, but read through it and see, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the heart of God, even just through who Jesus was and the actions that he did. Take time to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will see Acts 10:38 come to life. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were sick or oppressed of the devil. The whole being, the whole person, the whole mission, however you want to say it, of Jesus Christ was to carry out his Father's passion. His will. And it was all that Jesus did when he walked on the earth. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do will of the one who sent me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Verse 23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease, and his fame are among the people, and his fame went throughout all. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different or divers diseases and torments, those who were possessed with devils, those who were lunatic. Ooh, we got lots of those today. Just kidding. Those who were lunatic, those who had the palsy. Healed them. I've got someone in mind. Anyways, that's okay. And he healed them. Matthew 8:16. We're just going to see a few of the places where it shows graphically and specifically what Jesus did, what he came to do, which was the will of the Father. And see, if you don't see a fanatic in your Father, Matthew 8:16, he cast out all devils and healed all that were sick. Matthew 12:15, this is just the first gospel. Great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. Matthew 14:13, Jesus went into a desert place by ship and the people followed him there by foot. And when Jesus saw the great multitudes, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Matthew 15:30, and great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were blind, lame, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at the feet of Jesus, and he healed them all. That's just a few taken from the book of Matthew. I want you this week to read the whole four Gospels. Can you do that? And just see what else is said about Jesus other than him teaching about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, and healing all their sick. When you walk with Jesus through the gospel, that is all you will see. That is all he did. He shared the gospel of the kingdom and he healed all of the people. And no doubt, Jesus had a reputation back then. Imagine if a man came on the scene today in our day and age, and he just walked around and wherever he went, whoever came to him was healed. He would be known very quickly. He would have a reputation very quickly as what? As the healer. We would call him the healer. Jesus was known. He had a reputation. They said in the Bible, if you read carefully, they brought the sick from all over were brought. And Jesus healed them all. If that were so today, I'm sure that people would be bringing sick from all over. People would be bringing their relatives, their children, to be healed. People came from far and wide. Why? Because they heard about him and his healing power. And all who came to him were healed. All. Not one was disappointed and went away sick. It's too bad we can't say the same thing for the church. That when they come to church, that not one goes away sick. Not even one. And you are going to see, if you read through the Gospels, that Jesus healed multitudes of people. All kinds of people. I'm going to say something this morning. Jesus didn't just heal good people. I am sure in those multitudes, there was robbers, thieves, adulterers, and possibly even murderers. It doesn't say. But when you're talking about multitudes of people, you can be sure that many of them had all kinds of problems. And yet, Jesus healed them all. God does not only just heal good people. Jesus, get a picture of God. Jesus, and see the passion in our Father. Jesus asked no questions. He demanded no thing from them. Nothing. He never gave them any prerequisite warnings, or it was just, he just healed them all. He healed those that came. Jesus was all about healing God's people. He was obsessed with it. He was passionate. That was an everyday, that was his life. I'm sure when he got up in the morning, he was going back out to see how many more people he could touch, he could release from bondage of sickness and disease and demons and whatever. This is our God. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father. How can we downplay healing when that's what God was all about? I want my people well. God has not changed. He has not changed from what he showed us he is in Christ. And you know, there are those of us today who really do truly believe that God only did these miracles, these healings, through Jesus Christ to prove that Jesus was God. Have you heard that? Oh, yes, you know, of course, because when you bring up the argument about healing, that Jesus healed them all, they say, oh, yeah, that was because God had to prove that Jesus was indeed God. And that was how he proved that who he was. But you know what? I look at that and I think, so what? He doesn't have to prove to us today that Jesus is God? That was only for that short period of time? And if that is true, then I pray, tell me, why did Jesus many a times tell them whom he had healed not to tell anybody? You know, it's there, lots. Matthew chapter 12, 14, 15, and 16 is one example. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Jesus, how they could destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from there, and great multitudes followed him and charged them that they should not make him known. The Bible tells us he had compassion on them, and he healed them, but then he said, don't tell anybody. Does that look like someone who's trying to prove that he's God? So we need to ask ourselves, in the light of that, Jesus told many not to tell anyone, to go their way. We need to ask ourselves, did Jesus heal people to be famous so that he could be known and make a name for himself, so that people would look at him and say, oh, he must be God? Or did he heal people because he loved? Jesus healed for one reason. Because he loved us. That's the reason. And just imagine for one moment. I want you to use your imagination here this morning. Indulge me. Just imagine for 1 minute. And I am speaking to those of us who are Christians and who have the great hope. Imagine for a moment that you, in this world, are sick, terminally ill. In other words, you have a disease that the doctors have no cure for, and actually you are not going to live very long. You're on your way out. Just imagine for one moment, okay? So you're in a church, you're a Christian, and you are a believer, and you know and have the faith to believe that, you know, it might not happen this side of heaven, you know, but that's okay. I know I have Jesus. He is my life. I know that I have eternal life. And that's all right, because I'm only beginning. There's a great joy and a great place waiting for me, right? And I mean, that is a lot of times how we see it. And bless God, I'm not knocking that. That is great. There is a great hope. You better have that great hope on the inside of you. But let's just say, use your imagination here now for a moment. Let's just say you passed on from this life, and you went into the next life, and on arriving, you realized you had the same problem. that it wasn't gone. Now, how would you feel? Come on, how would you feel? You would feel upset. You'd feel like, wow, this was my whole hope. You'd feel indignant, like somehow you had been misled. But I'm going to ask us a question. How do you know for sure that you're going to wake up on the other side and not have the same problems you have on this side? How do we know that for sure? How can we be so sure that we can give up this life and yet be so sure of the next? Think about that for a moment. If you can't be sure in this life, how can you be sure in the next? And you know, I believe that's how God looks at it. He's done what he needed to do to bring wholeness and health to his children. And then when he looks and he sees, I think he's shocked. He's like, well, no, this is wrong. That's how we would feel if we got to the other side and found out we still had high blood pressure. It's like, what? I thought I left that back there. We are so sure that all of our pains, our aches, our problems, infirmities, diseases are only for this life. But how do you know that for sure? How do we know that the next life there isn't something else we have to deal with? But what I'm trying to say is, as sure as you are of the next life, you be that sure in this life. As surely as you could stand and say, I know that when I leave this body, that I am going to be well, whole, completely whole. You need to have that same assurance that you have the wholeness and the wellness in this life. And very few of us do, including myself. I am not categorizing people here. I am speaking to you because this is what God has shown me. It is time for me to take a stand. God is just as passionate today as he was about, as he was 2,000 years ago about this issue. Just as passionate. It is not a trivial thing with God. It is not a small thing with God, any more than it would be a small thing with you if your child was suffering. That is first priority with you. Would it not be? Absolutely. I mean, you just, oh, well, you know, Jaden's, she's got a terminal illness, but that's okay. We won't worry about that. We'll just get off with life. No. In fact, life stops. Life stops many times. If your child is ill, nothing else matters except that child. That's how God is. It's like, okay, stop this whole thing. I want that person well. So that we can come together as the body of Christ in wholeness and shine like we're supposed to. Don't let anybody tell you that God is only interested in saving your soul. And that the rest of it is just benefits. Fringe benefits or whatever you want to call it. And that our healing or the healing in our bodies is just not that important to God. If you only knew how important it was. Now, that was my introduction. And the first question I want to ask us and answer today is this. Sickness, disease, infirmities, whatever you want to call it, where does it come from? Where does it come from? We got to answer these questions in order to build a strong foundation in our lives and to be sure of what we believe. We got to know what we believe. So where does sickness and disease come from? Does it come from God? Well, obviously it can't, because why would God give us something and then fight He's not a lunatic. God doesn't give something and then fight to release us from it. He wants it stamped out of his body. So obviously he's not the author of it. So in order to see the real root, I went to the law of first mention. Very first time it mentions disease in the Bible is back in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And it says this: if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you. Now, we just said disease doesn't come from God. I don't like the translation of the word put. I believe it is improperly interpreted. God allows, not puts. There's a big difference. Puts makes it sound like he gave it to you. God allows. He had to allow sickness and disease. So God says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his word, then I will put, or I will allow, none of these diseases upon you. Now, just reading that makes no sense. There is no direction in the law of first mention there, but there is. So at a first glance, this law looks like it doesn't really apply. But it does tell us where disease comes from. Notice God says this: I will allow none of the diseases of what? Of the Egyptians. Now, God didn't say, I won't allow any sickness or disease. He said the diseases specifically of Egypt. So what is that telling us? What has Egypt got to do with where disease originated from? Well, the word Egypt, anybody know the definition of the word Egypt? In the Hebrew dictionary, it means to be hemmed in. It means to be in a stronghold, in bondage, held in bondage. So Egypt represents sin. We were in bondage to sin. We were held captive. Right? We were all born into Adam's sin. It wasn't something you did specifically, Kendra. It was just something that was passed down because you were born of the flesh. And all of us are born into the sin of Adam, into that bondage. And that's what Egypt represents. But we've been delivered out of Egypt. God sent Moses in as his representative to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. So we know that Egypt represents bondage. It represents the old you, the old sin nature that you have. And so, therefore, what this is telling us is that sin or sickness and disease came from sin. Without sin, there wouldn't have been any sickness and disease. It came from the diseases are directly linked to Egypt, which is symbolic of our bondages and sin. God said the soul that sin, he didn't say I will kill. He said the soul that sins will die. All of us were deserving of death. We know that. And disease, think about this. Disease is only a stage of death, right? It's a stage of death. So think about the word for a minute. Dis-ease. What does the word ease mean? It means to be secure. When you're at ease, you are secure, you are quiet, peaceful, you are at rest. To be at dis-ease is exactly the opposite. And that's where the word comes from. That's why it's so important and it has so much to do with us staying in the rest. So dis-ease, my point is this, came into the world through sin. Right? So disease is a fruit of sin. It's not the root, it's the fruit of sin. So if sickness entered the human race because of sin, you need to reason sometimes in your mind and think on these things. If sickness entered the human race because of sin, then you and I, who are washed clean from all sin in the blood of Jesus, are set free from all sin. Why? Because Jesus suffered and he paid the price for our sin, which was death. Because Jesus, God had said, the soul that sinned will die. Jesus paid that price for us through his death and all the punishment for our sin, even our tomorrow sins. Then we, if we have received this gift of his forgiveness of all sin, we, you and I, should never have to be sick. Because sickness, disease, is the fruit of sin. So you can see, you can reason it logically, you see it. You see why we can, as Christians, be free from sickness and disease. So if you are here today or you're listening through the internet and you have some sort of an infirmity or disease, you know, don't be condemned. God doesn't condemn you. He's trying to help you. We don't condemn. And you know, I'm going to say something here this morning, that everybody sitting in this room has some sort of problem. Come on. Anybody here is totally, perfectly well. I don't think, I mean, maybe the babies, but everybody, or maybe Jaden, come on, she's young. But everybody has something going on in their body that God wants to eradicate. Let's not compare one with the other. You know, you might have high blood pressure, you might have this, you might have that. Who cares? It's all under the same thing. It's all fruit. It's all the disease is, it's from the fruit of sin. So let's not judge over who's got what or when or how bad or how terrible it is. It really doesn't matter. I can pretty well guarantee that all of us here today has something going on in their bodies that God wants to heal and eradicate. Can I hear an amen? But don't be deceived into thinking it's because of something I've done or didn't do. Don't be deceived into thinking that this isn't that bad. God's not really concerned about this area. God is concerned. And like I said to Megan earlier this week, sometimes we just learn to live with things. It's like, oh, it's not that bad. But bless God, if it does get bad, oh, I'm going to just press into the word. But as long as I can live with it, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to worry too much about it. I've got many things like that going on, you know. It's like, okay, I can live with this. I'm good. I can handle this. But what happens when you can't handle it? And so what I'm saying is, if you don't practice with what you can handle or what you think you can handle, then how in the world are you going to be strong when it's something you can't handle? So I'm trying to encourage us to take a hold of this and walk in it, even in the small areas, in every one of our lives. So don't be deceived into thinking because of something you have done or haven't done, that's why this sickness is in your body, or that's why this problem is there. That's wrong thinking. Even Jesus said, when the disciples, remember, they were walking with Jesus, and they said, Lord, why is this man born this way? What did he do? And Jesus said, you're all wrong. You're seeing this all wrong. This man is like that so that the goodness of God or the glory of God can be made manifest in him. Think of it that way. I have this thing, not because of what I've done. It's just so that God can show his goodness in me by getting rid of it. Don't let anybody tell you that you are sick or someone else is sick because of sin. Because that's been paid for. It's done. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that somehow you are responsible for where you are or where you are not. Jesus paid the price for all of our sin. So what I'm saying this morning is don't confuse the issue. It's simple. Don't confuse it. Jesus didn't make it confusing. He came to the earth. People came to him. They were healed. Done. And away they went. There wasn't a 20-page questionnaire that they had to fill out. There wasn't a test that they had to pass. He asked no questions, and he sent them away with no advice. He just healed them all. And if there's one thing that we really need to grasp today and understand, it's this one thing. All your sins are forgiven. All of them. For all time. I owe sin nothing. If disease is a fruit of sin, I don't have to grow disease. The Bible tells me that I am dead to sin. And I especially do not owe sin my health. So let's not add to the simplicity of God's word. I am healed and you are healed. Not because of what you've done or didn't do. Not because you eat all the right foods or don't eat all the right foods. Not because of any exercise program you're on. Not because, you sleep well or you don't sleep at all. Don't confuse the issue. You know, I hear so many things like people are sick because of this and they're sick because of that. And, you know, we confuse the issue, even in the church. Even in the church, we confuse it. You know, because of all the additives that are in our food, we're all sick. I mean, you know how much processed food we eat? You can't even pronounce those words. If you can't pronounce it, Camo says, don't eat it. And so we look around us today and we think, or we say things like, oh, sickness is just rampant because of all of the additives we have in our food, and we're eating all wrong, and you know, the processed food is killing us. And so in saying things like that, you're setting yourself up for a fall. I can tell you that for a fact. Now understand what I'm saying. Don't leave here and misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Disease does not come from those things. My question is this. If you really believe that people are sick today because of their diet, then let me ask you this question. Why were they sick back in the day of Jesus' diet? And there was multitudes that were sick. What were they eating? They didn't have any processed food back then. What made them sick? What made anybody sick? And so my point is this. If the food you ate didn't make you sick, then what makes us think that eating the good food is going to make us well? We need to not cloud the issue. The issue is we need to get, this is the natural, okay? This is the wisdom of man. Man trying to be well. Now, having said that, there's nothing wrong with choosing good food. But don't get so fanatical about organic food that you couldn't possibly put anything else in your mouth. Because to me, that's wrong. It's not what goes into the man that defiles the man. It's what comes out. And so let's stay, don't allow these issues to come in. Because I tell you, all of a sudden, you're wavering. And you're not really sure what you believe in the end. Let's make it clear. Jesus Christ is the only one. He is our only source of healing. No one else can heal your body. Even the doctors. I mean, they can cut parts out. They can help you to manage different things. Even with diet. I'm not saying diet doesn't have some effects. But it definitely will not heal you. Only Jesus has the power. Why? Because disease is a spiritual thing. So you are not going to fix a spiritual problem with a physical thing. And we need to understand that. We need to take a stand as God's people. We need to attack this. in our own lives and in the lives of each other. Enough is enough. Either God's word is the truth or it's not. And I've said that to the Lord many times. Lord, either you're going to work your word or I'm done. And God has said in his word, by my stripes you're healed. Do you know why by his stripes you're healed? Do you even understand what that means? Before it says that, it says the pain and the punishment, the chastisement for your sin. What is the pain and punishment that your sins deserve? Sickness and disease. Disease is just a punishment for sin. It is a stage of death. That was laid upon Jesus. He carried it for you. That by, how did he carry it? How did he suffer the pain of it? Through the stripes that they beat him with. By whose stripes? You are now well and healed. Why? Because he took the pain for you. And so we need to see that. That's my health. That's my wholeness. That's my foundation. And bless God, either God's word is the truth or it is not. So I don't want us to be offended today at this word, but I do believe, like I said, I asked Megan, I even talked to Megan, and I said, Megan, I've never really taught on just healing, because it's very controversial. It causes people to be offended or upset. That's not my intent today. I want us to gather together, and I want us to have war on sickness and disease. I don't care in what manner it comes. I don't care if it's mental, physical. It's got to go. There should be no plague among us. And the Bible says that when one is sick in the body, we all suffer. And it's true. If your little finger is hurting you, your whole body is going to have to compensate for that little achy finger. If your foot don't work, your whole body is going to have to compensate. God wants all of us well. First and foremost, because he loves us, just like you love your children. And you would hate to see your children sick. I mean, even when they have a flu that you know is going to pass, or a common cold and they're coughing, your whole purpose is to get that child well, that you can get on with it. God wants to get on with it. I believe we're living in a day and an age where God's plan is unfolding. It really is. And this is something he wants to deal with first. I want my people well. I want us to forget about everything. I want us to just simply say, yes, it's my time. I am healed. I don't care how I feel. Have that faith that knows God's word is never going to fail you. Take that word and live in it. So let's not cloud this issue with man's wisdom or the world's wisdom on health. Let God's word be your wisdom. I'm going to say it again. Sickness and disease cannot be eradicated completely from your body except by Jesus himself. And when Jesus heals, he not only heals, he makes you whole. Because let's face it, if there's things that wear down the body, and those parts now are not the same, you know? But when Jesus heals you, he completely restores every part of your being. Wow. And this is truth. This is the truth. So let God's word be your wisdom. Jesus never confused the issue, and neither should we. Disease is the fruit of sin. And Jesus set us free from sin, did he not? At the cross, through his own death. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 says this. Hebrews 12, 13, let's go there. Make straight paths. Lift up the holy hands, or lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees. What does that mean? I used to read this scripture. You know, the Word of God, especially the King James, it's written like a poem. It's so poetic and it makes no sense, but sounds nice. So it's easy to memorize. So lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for yourself. What does that mean, honestly? Come on, let's break this down into our language. Okay, we know that lifting up holy hands is lifting up your hands to the evening sacrifice. In other words, He alone is my healer. Jesus alone. I'm not going to be lifting it all over the place and say, well, you know, I'm going to gain a little here. No, He alone. Lifting up holy hands is lifting it up. Remember Moses? He had to lift up his hands in order to defeat the enemy. If you want to defeat the enemy, lift up holy hands. Jesus Christ alone is my healer. Why? Because by His stripes I was healed. Lift up holy hands, or lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. What does that mean? Straight. The word straight means rightly divide, correctly divide. We have not correctly divided the Word of God. And that's why many people are lame and turned out of the way. What does the word lame mean? What does it signify? It means that your feet don't line up. One is kind of dragging behind. It says, so that you don't be turned out of the way. Make straight paths. In other words, have a proper discerning of God's Word. And then walk that straight path. Don't allow one foot to be turned out of the way. But rather, it says, let it be healed. So we got to be careful. We need to get back to the basics of Christianity. And we need to make Jesus Christ our only source. Our only source. 1 Peter 2:24. We're going to close with this morning. 1 Peter 2:24. We should all be able to quote that scripture. First Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sin in His own body. Speaking of Jesus and the reason you and I are healed. Who in His own self bare our sin in His own body on the tree or the cross. That we being dead to sin, why are you dead to sin? What does it mean to be dead to sin? We took that many times. Reckon yourself indeed to be dead to sin, even as Jesus is. How is Jesus dead to sin? Is He dead to the desire to sin, to do things that are wrong? No, He never had that desire. So in the same manner, you yourself reckon yourself to be dead to sin. Jesus is dead to sin. How? He will never have to pay the punishment or the price for sin ever again. In that same manner, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin as well. I will never have to, sin is done. Tell yourself that. Sin is over. I don't owe sin anything. Sin owes me nothing. I am dead to sin. Just like a dead man in the grave, they owe us nothing. They neither keep the law nor break the law. Right? If you were to ask somebody, do dead people keep the law? You'd look at them and say, well, no, they're dead. They have nothing to do with the law. Just like we are dead to sin, we have nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with us. You need to see yourself. You need to rightly discern God's word and put yourself there. That's who I am. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. What does it mean to live unto righteousness? Live according to what God's word says. We are now righteous. We are dead to sin. We are no longer unrighteous. Therefore, by whose stripes we are healed. It's all working together. But the main clause is that we are forgiven of all sin. Without understanding that, without really believing that, we will never have the second part. Who healeth all our diseases, Psalm 103. First thing is forgiveness of all sin. Secondly, God wants you well. And upon receiving the forgiveness of your sin, we are able to receive healing. Amen. And so a lot of times you got to ask yourself, you know, especially when there's different areas that you know, we struggle with. And I mean, I know I struggle in one area as well. And I need to ask myself often over and over again, do I really believe that my sins are all forgiven? You know, and then I need to go back to the Word. I need to make straight paths for my feet. I am not going to start examining myself. It's like, matters not. Jesus Christ already did it. And that's where I need to keep my focus. Lift my hands to the evening sacrifice. Keep my focus on what he did, not on what's going on or what I did or didn't do. And too many times we get blindsided and not even realizing we're getting our focus on the wrong thing. But we need to press in this area. We really do. Like I said, I've never felt so strongly in all of the 15 years or 16 years that I've preached to do this message, to rip it apart. And next week I want to continue on with this. Next week I want to look more at the legal side of it. I want us to know that we know that we know that we know, and we're established and we are rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not just believing something that I'm telling you from up here, but you know yourself why you believe what you believe. But all we need to know today for sure is God is passionate. He's a fanatic about getting you well. And so when you approach him, just as Jesus was a fanatic on the earth, he never turned anybody away. He was more than willing to heal all people. In fact, he was sad when he went into Nazareth. Remember, it says that he went away very disappointed because he was able to do very little works. They didn't believe who he was. They didn't come to him. And it says he left there feeling sad. And I even want to go so far as to address not only your healing and your health, but also I want to teach on, you know, so many times we hear of sick people and we want to help. We want to, and, you know, we just feel, gee, they're not believers. How do we go about this? How do we obtain healing for others? You know, and I'm talking about people outside of the church. And there is scriptures in here that show us exactly and will give us the confidence that we, you and I will need as a church to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We need that. But first of all, we need to be settled in our own understanding. We need to be pursuing it for us, seeing the reality of it. And then God wants to use each and every one of us together to bring healing. Because even as Jesus, like Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, Father, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them. And if healing was a big issue back then bless God, it's just as big an issue today. And God needs you. And he needs you well. It's not easy to do anything for God when you're not well. And you always feel condemned. How can I tell somebody else when I'm suffering? You know, let's get through that. Let's get over that. That's just the devil trying to keep you down. You do have a mandate from God. God does want to use each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you.